Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
When we're talking offense and getting... Oh, man, I lost my train of thought. Never mind.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
Oh, no!
All right, you just put yourself in the promos.
Good
MLB Network.
You just put me in the promo by reminding them.
And Chris Ello.
I have a better suggestion for you.
Uh-oh.
What? Scraby comes up to you at an event with a microphone.
Run?
Run!
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hello there. Gwen and Chris, 504. Happy day before Friday to you. Friday Eve, as it were. Rolling towards 7 o'clock on San Diego's number one sports talk station. We are 97.3 The Fan. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr., Scraby, Odd Thomas, all in the building. And plenty of good stuff still to come on the program, including some stuff from the Coach John Contreras show earlier today, a visit with new Padre reliever Emilio Pagan. You will also hear from Jay Billis a little bit later on. Jay Billis was on with Ben and Woods this morning talking about the West Coast bias and how it may affect our San Diego State Aztecs. A couple days away from going for win number 27 in a row. That will be on Saturday here at Viejas Arena against UNLV.
Oh.
Yeah. And then 28 could be Tuesday night against Colorado State, and then there'd only be one more regular season game to go at Nevada. Can they do it? I would rather them go 26-3 and then go on a winning streak and take the national title. But in lieu of that, I think when you've come this far, Tony,
might as well finish the
you
job.
Might as well get the undefeated season,
finish
right?
The job.
I mean, it is so rare for anybody in college basketball. I was thinking of this the other day. The longest winning streak in the history of Major League Baseball is?
Longest what?
The longest winning streak in the history of Major League Baseball. It's 26 games. That's the most anybody has ever won in a Major League Baseball season. It was the New York Giants way back when, like 100 years ago, did it. The Oakland A's got to 20, you may recall, in the Moneyball era. But 26 in a row is the most anybody's ever won. No NFL team has ever won 26 games in a row. You're looking for NBA teams that have done 26 in a row? Well, you got the Lakers 33, and you got a couple of other teams that I think got Miami Heat maybe made 28, something like that. All I'm saying is 26 wins in a row in any sport, it's pretty impressive. I know that UCLA once won 88 in a row. I know UConn's women won 110. But the Aztecs 26-0 is still impressive, and I think once you've come this far, and I think the guys are really geared up to try and get it done now. And I think that the three teams that they're going to play between now and the end of the regular season are going to do everything they possibly can to stop them. So it's going to be fun to watch these next three games. What's not fun is continuing the conversation about the Houston Astros. It's getting old. It's getting annoying. But Big Poppy, he jumped in there today. And he wasn't actually critical of the Houston Astros. Big Poppy, David Ortiz, critical of the guy who called out the Houston Astros.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it. And let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? People is not stupid.
People is not stupid. Well,
What was the last part of that for?
I didn't even know that was in the quote there. That threw me off a little bit. That's David Ortiz talking about Mike Fiers and calling him a snitch. And we talked about this a little bit earlier in the program. Mike Fiers, to me, did about as well as he could have done under the circumstances. But could he have done better? Yeah, he could have. He could have jumped up at the time it was all going on and said, hey, this has got to stop. And he didn't, and that's what David Ortiz is pointing out today by saying that, you know what, Mike Fiers was more than happy to accept his World Series money when he was part of that 2017 Houston Astros team, and now coming out makes him look like a snitch. Tony Gwynn Jr. and I kicked this around a little bit earlier. A couple of different things. Number one, David Ortiz himself was part of the steroid controversy. So you got to be careful if you're David Ortiz and you're saying anything, because there are those like myself who have long memories of that. And on the other side, if it wasn't for Mike Fiers coming out and being a, quote, snitch in the mind of David Ortiz, where would this situation be in Major League Baseball? Because no one else was willing to take a shot and come out and say something.
Here's another thing. I just thought about this because we heard from AJ Hinch.
Right.
And one of the things, he destroyed two monitors at two different times. And I mean, he could have gone into the office and him and the manager, he at least you knew.
Mike Fiers could have told the manager.
Him and Mike Fiers, at least they could have been on the same page, you know?
Right.
Again, Mike Fiers should be commended for coming out and saying something. But it doesn't just, I don't just gloss over that he got that World Series share and all the other shares that came along with getting to the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to pocket that, and he's not talking about giving none of that back. He didn't feel that bad.
Another guy that came out and said something.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
And more importantly,
sure.
A lot of people's jobs, not a lot of people. There's, we don't know, but I'm sure people never got a chance to come back to the big leagues. Were looked at differently from the organization.
Guys who
there's
got
just
bombed
so
by the Astros.
Many things that took place in that span of time before he decided to speak up. All right, I'm done.
No, that's fine. Now, who's worse off here, though? Is it Mike Fiers or is it a guy like Jonathan Lucroy, a teammate of Mike Fiers with the Oakland A's? He also has played for Milwaukee. He's now with the Boston Red Sox. But Lucroy was with the A's, and he said today, quote, I knew about all that 2 years ago that it was going on. I know it just recently came out, but everyone in baseball knew, especially in that division that played against them. We were all aware of the Astros doing those things, and it was up to us to outsmart them, I guess you could say. Jonathan Lucroy said today that when he was with the Oakland A's, they actively changed signs every single pitch.
I knew about that 2 years ago. What was going on? I know it just recently came out, but everybody in baseball, especially in that division that played against them, we were all aware of the Astros doing those things. And it was up to us to, you know, outsmart them, I guess you could say. They had a very intricate system going on. We were well aware of it. And it was a challenge, especially very, very, it was a mental challenge to really overcome that.
Now, the difference is he's hearing this secondhand. So even if he does come out, it's like, you know what I heard, comes to the media, I heard that the Astros are doing this, this, and that. Well, where'd you hear that from? Guess who he's got to roll right under the bus as far as who told him?
Mike Fiers. Told me, yeah.
So it's not his responsibility at that point, but it does confirm a lot of things that, you know, if you're around the ballpark like I am, you hear these type of conversations going on. But again, there's no proof at the time, so you can't just come out and blanketly, you know, blanket the whole entire organization without any type of proof.
It's incredible that so much took place, so much was taking place, so many different people, not just with the Astros, but around baseball.
Antennas were up.
Everybody seemed to have an idea of this. It's almost as if everybody wants to come out now and say, well, what do you think? I was stupid. I didn't know what was going on.
People is not stupid.
But here, thank you, David. But the thing is, it's just amazing to me that nobody said anything.
Nobody.
I mean, Jonathan Lucroy basically said today, they went through an entire intricate system themselves as the Oakland Athletics to counteract the cheating that the Astros were doing, they didn't have to do that. All they would have had to do is say, hey, everybody, the Astros are cheating.
Here's the thing.
Watch these guys. These guys are cheating every single game. Look what we have to do to play them.
I take you.
And no one said it.
I take you back to this piece, though. Major League Baseball did an investigation. They did an investigation during the playoffs, right after the playoffs. They didn't find anything. So, again,
yeah,
it wasn't as though they weren't put on notice. As a matter of fact, the Red Sox got a slap on the wrist. The Yankees got a slap on the wrist. And they all sent memos saying, knock it off. But they didn't have the proof. And this kind of bleeds.
That was one of the worst investigations of all time.
Right? But this leads back into the conversation we had yesterday about the player's immunity. Like, without that piece,
right,
nobody ever comes forward.
Crazy situation. We want to get some phone calls on it? We will. On the flip side of this, 833-288-0973. If you got something you want to add to all of this Astro controversy, you may do so. Also, coming up, Emilio Pagan, brand new Padres reliever, on with the coach, John Quintero. Here's some of the things that he had to say when this very program continues. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. This is Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station. Let's check a little traffic right now with Sue D on 97.3 The Fan.
.520 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Want to get to the phone lines. Before we introduce you to one of the Padres' new relievers, Emilio Pagan, who joined, Coach earlier? Joined Coach John Quintero on his show earlier today. We're going to play some sound from that. But first, let's get to these phone lines. Let's first go to Dan out in San Marcos. Dan, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call, Gwynn and Chris. Love your show. You guys keep it real here in San Diego, and I really appreciate it every time on the way home from work.
We appreciate you. What's on your mind?
Give that man a prize.
Right before I get to my topic, just wanted to do a quick shout-out to my beautiful fiance, Jen Burke. Now, what I wanted to talk about was, Mike Fiers, okay? So I was just watching SportsCenter on the plane on my way home here to San Diego, and Jeff Passan, I think his name is, MLB Insider, is talking about how, okay, so David Ortiz says that Mike Fiers is a snitch. And David Ortiz's point was, if you thought this was so wrong that you had to come out and talk about it, why didn't you say anything during the season when it was going on?
Right.
You went out and made your money and got right. your ring and then waited to talk about it. And what you decided to do was wait and then a couple of years later and then talk about it. And then Jeff Passan on SportsCenter, he's saying, what David Ortiz is saying makes no sense because he came out and talked about it and now we're getting to the facts and now we're making progress on this. But I think David Ortiz had a point. If you had such a big problem about it, if he came out about it right when he had a problem about it, could that have made a difference? And maybe, what do you think?
Listen, first of all, thanks for the phone call. Shout out to your fiance Jen as well. Listen, I agree. Listen, I told you both things can be true, right? I don't agree with the term snitch, and I know we're talking about words, but there's a certain type of sting that the word snitch has to it that I think is unnecessary in this particular setting. I will say this, having been grown up in a major league locker room, been one as a professional myself, there is a right, wrong, or indifferent, there is a mindset of loyalty over everything. And I get that. But in this particular case, both things can be true. It is the right thing for Mike Fiers to have said something about. But he also is in the wrong because, as I was been saying all show today, he collected checks. He got a ring. People possibly lost their jobs in this whole thing, why he didn't say anything. So both things can be true. He can be praised for speaking out when he did, but he can also be criticized because of how long he waited to do it. That's okay. I think Mike Fiers is ultimately fine with the decision he made. Maybe he feels like, man, I wish I would have done it earlier, but ultimately he didn't. So that's where I stand. Jeff, here's the thing is that a lot of people are going to just immediately jump on some people are going to jump on Mike Fiers. Some people are like Jeff Paxton are going to jump on David Ortiz for his framework. And I think what everybody's getting caught up in, just like myself, is the word snitch. You can have an issue with Mike Fiers not speaking up earlier, though. I personally believe for sure.
Jeff Passan wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for snitchers.
That's right. So he's
he's always going to stick up for the snitcher. Jeff Passan breaks a lot of stories in baseball because people snitch, as it were. Thanks for the call, though, Dan. Good stuff.
We got another one. Let's go to Gary out in San Diego. Gary, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Gary.
The David Ortiz thing. I've talked to Coach before. Yeah, I go way back. I got a couple of no-hit pitching plaques on the wall myself. A fellow named Satchel Paige taught me how to throw the gypsy.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, this fellow, I lived down in the Dominican Republic for 5 years and had my clothing line produced there. And all of them, the Winter Ball and Ortiz and all of them, first of all, the word snitchy is inappropriate and it connects back to Ortiz with what he may have been doing, steroid use. Ethics is the problem not only in baseball, but this entire country and possibly the world. If you don't get the ethics right, you are breaking down what you say you're trying to do. A great program of baseball and then filter it down to children. I don't think that's happening there. And then Ortiz also, Beltran had gotten the manager job. I saw coming out in him that, oh, you just messed up my assistant coaching job, if you really want to start getting down to the little nitty-gritty about knowing these players and what's going on and what they did. So now, this being Black History Month, and Martin Luther King said that anyone that watches something going wrong and they do not stand up and say or do something about it, they are just as much part of that wrongdoing as the person that's perpetrating it. So all those players that were part of that should be able to come up and get some type of, say so without feeling some type of reprisal against them, and then judge from there. Then Major League Baseball will be coming clean. Until they do that, they throwing stuff in your face, sweeping it under the rug, and I wouldn't pay another dime to see nobody play as much as I want to see Tatis play and Manny Machado. Yeah. So, no, they need to do something deeper than what they did if they're serious about what they did.
I'll tell you one thing, Gary, thanks for the phone call. That was awesome. Number one, it was awesome. Number two, you can never go wrong if you throw a Martin Luther King quote in the middle of your call.
No, you can't.
It's always a smart move. Good stuff, though, Gary. He brought up so many different things that we've talked about throughout the day. But I'm glad he brought up the snitch thing. I mean, because you've been really, in tune with that today. I mean, it's such a derogatory term used in a situation where I don't think derogatory is the right term. Is the right way to look about what Mike Fiers did.
David could have made his point as he made it, just without using the word snitch. I had no issue with anything Dave Ortiz said until he used the word snitch.
Yeah.
Because now that puts it really in a different light. Mm-hmm. You can be mad at Fiers for not saying something when it was going on the year after, or even a year after that. But to call him a snitch insinuates that he's done something wrong. And I just look where baseball is right now.
At least they're getting somewhere.
We're having a conversation about possibly moving technology out of the clubhouses because it was being used the wrong way. I think that can't be just glossed over.
But Gary's right. Baseball's got a long way to go.
They do.
They got a long way to go before they're going to earn the trust back of a lot of people out there. So right about that.
The thing is, regardless of how you feel about Mike Fiers, we can assume that there were a lot of people hurt by this whole episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking feelings. I'm talking about life's hurt.
We got a caller on line one who brings up a pretty good point. If we want to get to him real quick, John.
Okay, let's bring John on. John, welcome to the show. Gwen and Chris, thanks for calling
in.
What's on your mind?
John. Odd Thomas says you have a good point. It better be good.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
No, I just want a lot of talk about Mike Fiers, right? But I've never heard anybody answer the question: if it's not for Mike Fiers, is this story still out there? Did somebody else bring it, yep, or are they still hiding it?
This story
is. Listen, eventually somebody would have said something. They would have just been fed up to the point. And it would, you know what? Honestly, it would have taken the Astros continuing to keep having success.
Yeah, what if they would have won a couple more World
Series? That's, I don't know that. Listen, there's no guarantee, even with this happening, that it's done. No players were punished. As the point that
they could continue to cheat,
Girardi.
The point that Girardi made yesterday.
They could continue to just elaborately cheat until baseball totally takes away all the video equipment.
I think that's where base has to be headed. And to answer your question, John, I don't think this does get brought out without Mike Fiers, which is why ultimately, no matter how you feel about him not saying something until he did, you can't be just completely irritated with him.
No, if he didn't say anything, look, the Houston Astros would like you to believe that Mike Fiers didn't need to say anything because they stopped cheating the second the 2017 season was over.
Right.
And anybody who believes that, I have some swampland in Florida for sale.
Here's the other thing in defense of Mike Fiers. Even the manager of the actual team, didn't necessarily feel comfortable saying something.
Yeah,
He went through damaging stuff to try to get his point, but he didn't feel comfortable enough to actually call a meeting and be like, hey, this has to stop now.
Yeah, you're right. That's amazing. If the manager didn't do it,
how can we expect a player?
How can we expect Mike Fiers to do it?
Do you guys quickly want to hear what Mike Clevenger said about
give it to us while before we go to the break real quick.
He said about the apologies that they gave, he said, why would you need a piece of paper to say sorry for being the biggest piece of bleep in baseball history? I don't understand that, but they did. They needed a piece of paper, and it read it like a robot. First, I've heard those boys talk about it. They just keep referring to one year when everybody in their right mind knows it was every single year, and they just got caught.
Boom. This is stories, as we've said all last couple weeks, as you heard Jerry Harrison Jr. say, this story is not going anywhere. We're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, we got our countdown. And
countdown.
We have been withholding the title of this countdown, and we'll continue to withhold until we get back from break. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, countdown's coming up. Emilio Pagan. We promise we'll get to that. Well, we shouldn't really promise that. We may not get to it. Who knows? Jay Billis, we might get to some of that as well. Gwen and Chris back with you. 5:37 is the time. Gwen and Chris program on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's number one sports talk station. Let's check traffic real quick with our good friend Sue D.
Well, South 805 drivers need to watch for a fender bender in the fast lane. It's South 805 north of Governor. We got four vehicles in the Gore Point between the HOV and left lane. That turned South 805 from heavy to a complete parking lot, especially all through Sereno Valley and Kearney Mesa. Meantime, a traffic break on northbound 15. This crash still working south of Bernardo Center. Also between the HOV and fast lane. Traffic there now starts to back up north of Mira Mesa Boulevard. I'm Sue DeVincent with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan.
All right, we got an interesting countdown, I believe, for you shortly, but Mike's been hanging on in Lemon Grove. Want to get him on the program here. Plenty to talk about on this Thursday. Mike, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How about yourself?
Well, Mike, what's on your mind?
So, the whole Mike Fiers deal, you had the other caller say that would this have even come out if Mike Fiers didn't say something? You had that Washington Post report last week that said one executive said that 10 to 12 teams had already complained to the MLB about this, about the Astros stealing signs and cheating using technology. Then you had Mike Fiers finally come out and say something to the Athletic, and that report came out. And then MLB all of a sudden does their investigation. We were expecting this. All the reports were saying this was going to take over a year. Manfred throws a 9-page report out.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A couple months. But Sealy, when the whole Mitchell report came out, that was 400-plus pages.
Yeah, word.
For the steroid thing.
Yeah.
This is 2-plus seasons of cheating for the Astros, 162 games just in the 2017 season. Why did we only get a 9-page report on this? This felt like a very rushed thing, and now it's coming around to where MLB didn't do the real due diligence and didn't really serve this justice in this report. And I don't see Manfred really lasting through the season because of how quickly this was thrown together and nothing was really solved. And the GM and the manager got suspended for a year as per the last the memo that was put out prior to the 2016 season.
Well, okay, so thanks for the phone call, Mike. That was there's a couple. It's layered when you compare it to the Mitchell report. In that case, Bud Selig went out because at that point the conversation had gotten so loud about what guys possibly were doing, right?
Right.
He was pretty much forced to go out and get independent counsel and have this investigation kind of take place solo. And this thing took, did it take like a year? It took over a year, right?
Forever.
It took forever, right? In this case, and it was spread across the entire league individually. This is concentrated on one team.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably where you have less pages. You had I don't remember how many players were mentioned in that. What was that report?
The Mitchell report. Over 100.
There was over 100 players.
100 names leaked out.
Right. Yeah. So you got that, and you got 100 different, you know, leads that you're following with 100 players. I can see how the pages got a little long on that one. And this one, it was pretty cut and dry. Now, I don't disagree with Mike that this seems a little rushed. And it probably was.
Yeah, they had to do something.
They had
quickly,
to do, and the reason why they had to, because yes, in the steroid issue, we're talking about integrity of the game, integrity of numbers, really, not necessarily the game itself. The game itself was fine, but in this case, you're talking about the actual game. You're talking about wins and losses. You're talking about championships, and I think that's where it differs. And I also think that's why it's shorter, because it's concentrated on one team.
I also disagree with it was a good call, but I disagree with the fact that Manfred's in any kind of trouble.
No, he's in zero trouble.
He's going to have to deal with a bunch of this heat, there's no question. But as we mentioned before, I'm not quite so sure what more he could have done.
Nah.
I know everybody's come out after the fact and say he should have suspended them, he should have done more, he should have taken all their money away, he should have, you know, kicked these guys out of baseball. If he did anything more than he did, he'd have a bigger headache than the one he's already had. And on top of that, as Tony has pointed out several times, you've got a collective bargaining agreement you got to deal with in the next couple of years, and he's got to keep that in mind with everything that he does now as far as thinking about baseball going forward.
The only people who can get rid of Rob Manfred are the owners.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like – I haven't heard from one owner, and maybe that's because he's got them all
maybe
quiet.
Maybe because he told them they couldn't say anything.
but I haven't heard from any owner being – I've heard sources from owners supposedly, you know, through different reports that they're upset, they're peeved. But
yeah,
for the most part, I don't hear very much conversation from the other owners. So I don't think they believe that there's much more he could have done.
I don't think there is a whole lot more he could have done. His hands were, I don't want to say his hands were tied. That's giving him too easy of an out, but His hands were tied.
It's not as easy as we're making it sound that he could have just up and suspended.
It's easy
players.
Now that it's over to say he should have done a whole lot more. All right. Enough of that, at least for today. I'm sure we will talk about it more tomorrow. We'll probably have to have a special show on Saturday to talk about it, for all I know. Scraby, you ready for the countdown?
Am I part of this or no?
No.
Okay.
You're not. I just want to make sure you're ready for it.
You're off. Sure.
Let's go.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour brought to you by Land Rover. Take every journey to the next level during the Own the Adventure sales event happening now until March 31st. Visit your San Diego County Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover, above and beyond. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., counting down important topics, including today's topic, top five ways we like our eggs prepared.
Yes, we have a new clip for the open.
I don't know. I was making some eggs this morning, and I thought of today's countdown subject. So there you have it, Tony. I don't know where these things... By the way, welcome to the show for the final 90 minutes today. Admiral Tony Gwynn Jr.
Hey, everybody.
He's got his new hat from the Navy. Is it Craig Smith?
Yes, Craig Smith.
Came by. You had gone and done a little speaking to his people, and he brought you a nice cap.
That's a sweet hat.
Thanks for
kind
that.
Kind of fly. I like it.
It
like
is
it a
very,
lot.
Very nice.
It's got a nice little Padre logo on the side.
Believe it.
And he told me that that cap, you put it on, you
I'm
automatically
admiral.
Become an admiral.
That is lovely.
So, Admiral Gwynn, welcome to the program.
You go first.
All right. Number five.
Lower Lieutenant Ello will go first on the counting down the five ways I enjoy eating my eggs. Number five, I always have to put one in there that teaches you guys something.
Oh.
Because I don't think you're going to know this
Please
one.
Teach.
I don't think you're going to know this one. I could be wrong. Number five way I like my eggs, basted. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Like isn't a baster like one of those things you get the turkey juice and you squirt it all over?
Here's how you baste an egg.
I need to hear this.
You get all kinds of bacon juice and grease and stuff like that.
Oh, this
put
sounds
it in the
delicious.
Pan. Oh, of course it's going to. Are you kidding? All kinds of bacon grease, the juiciest, tastiest flavoring stuff you can imagine. You fry your egg in that.
Oh, my Lord.
And then once the egg is fried, you take a spoon, and here's where the basting comes in. You scoop the juices of the bacon fat and all the gooey stuff, and you then pour it on top of the fried egg while it's still cooking. That is called a basted egg.
I'm watching it right now.
It is
to
die for. It's also probably going to help you die. Be honest with you.
The person in the video is doing what you said, but he's doing it with butter instead of bacon.
No, yeah. You can do it with butter.
If you're going to baste, go all out.
Oh, it looks like it's very important to put the lid on after you baste it.
Yeah, you want to trap all the juices in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Number five.
I'm
basted.
Going home trying some things. Nice.
You might try that one. Okay.
All right, number five on my list, omelet style.
Omelet?
Omelet style.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
Anything in particular you need in your omelet?
You know,
or
as
you
I,
take it
as,
pretty much with anything?
As I've matured a little bit, I've been able to go with the onion on there a little bit.
Yeah, couldn't do that as a kid.
No, huh. Couldn't do onions as a kid. I definitely got to have some bacon, some cheese.
Yeah, the usual.
Yeah, the usual.
Number four.
On the subject of omelets, can you, in a frying pan, flip an omelet?
Once every six tries.
And the other five times, what? The eggs wind up all over the kitchen?
All over the place.
All right. I'm going to work with you on that.
We should have an egg tossing contest.
I can flip an omelet as long as the pan
is... So then your omelet game is on point then.
My omelet game is pretty good, but it didn't make my top five.
I smell a competition.
Number four way I enjoy eating my eggs is in a burrito.
You better knock it off.
Breakfast burrito. Thank you so much to whoever came up with that idea. If it was somebody down there south of the border, I appreciate it. If it was somebody in Oceanside, I appreciate that too.
But only before 10 a.m., right?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? I can go through the Sonic drive-thru at midnight. Of course, that is before 10 a.m.
Thank you. Thank you.
San Diego has already ruled on this,
yeah.
Scraby. You don't get to bring it back up.
Fine. I can have a breakfast burrito at any hour of the day. I think eggs wrapped in a burrito and then put all your favorite omelet stuff in there, but I just love it in that burrito style. Number four.
My number four is on an English muffin.
Aha. A la the egg
a la McMuffin. The egg McMuffin. I make a lot of these at my house.
You do? You make them your own? You make your own, huh?
Absolutely.
You got the Canadian bacon in there,
no,
too?
No, no, no. No Canadian. Just real bacon. Real bacon.
Real bacon. Okay,
real bacon.
Enough.
Yeah. But that's probably the way I enjoy it.
Well, most. At least the fourth most.
Well, I'm talking about in terms of on top of, like, in a sandwich style.
Gotcha. I think, you know, I'm a big fan of Canadians. Not that big a fan of your bacon.
No.
Don't think Canadians.
It's ham.
You haven't improved on the bacon by making what you call Canadian bacon.
Stop trying to trick us by putting the bacon on there. It's just ham. It's a circle slice of ham. That's all it is.
Just give me bacon. Number three.
Number three.
Oh, I'm sorry, Thomas. Thank you. Number three way I enjoy eating my eggs. I like to have a little fun with this. Deviled eggs.
Ooh. Now you're speaking my language over here.
Oh, you like those.
I love them. That's what I usually bring to, like, Super Bowl parties. I make them myself.
And then you eat them yourself before you even put them down on the table?
Every single one of them. You know, on the way over to the party.
What'd you bring to the Super Bowl party?
He hit Ed with his mouth
That was deviled eggs.
You know, on the way to the party, you might have to sneak one, two, or three.
Well, that's the beauty about deviled eggs. They're usually small. You usually make a lot, and you can sneak two or three out of them.
The fun thing with deviled eggs is once you get all the hard-boiled egg and then you scoop the yolks out and then you make your topping to put back in, you can put pretty much anything in there. I mean, mayonnaise, mustard, and then you can get the spice rack out, and you can just go to town.
Paprika.
Whatever you like. Whatever you like.
There's cayenne pepper?
No
cayenne
rules.
Cayenne pepper, anyone?
No rules at all.
Cayenne pepper's a little much.
All right, number three for me is scrambled light.
Scrambled light.
There's one.
Good, important.
If there is, it's very important.
Yes.
The egg game is destroyed if I see brown on my egg generally. Like, I don't like my egg overcooked. That burnt taste is just not what it is for me on
egg. How do you like,
egg.
Are egg whites going to make your top five?
They're not.
I didn't think so.
They're not.
My wife likes her eggs, egg whites, and burned.
That's how my wife likes it.
Okay.
Like,
well, then we should get our wives together so they can make their own eggs in the morning.
Quick story. For, like, I've been married now for 13 years.
Yes.
And for, like, the first 8 years of our marriage.
You ate burnt eggs?
She refused to cook the eggs the way I liked them. I had to have burnt eggs.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think the amount an egg is scrambled
very
is
important.
Very important.
Very important.
Number two.
Number two is scrambled eggs. And I'm going to go the same way Tony said. I like them nice and loose. I almost want them raw. Like, not quite that bad, but, you know, you can put some heat on them. But as Tony said, do not brown my scrambled eggs in any way, shape, or form. I even like it at a big, you know, like the Valley View Casino buffet where they have like a...
Powdered eggs?
A gigantic. Well, I think Valley View has a little better than powdered eggs.
Okay.
I'm
going
to give them the nod. But
they use real eggs.
I like scrambled eggs so much that you can give me a big thing of almost powdered eggs.
Right.
And I can still eat a ton of those things.
As long as they're not cooked too long.
As long as they don't cook them too long.
I'm That's with you.
Right. All right. Fair enough.
Number two on my list is over medium.
Over medium.
Over
I
medium.
Like that.
See, here's the deal.
Everybody else goes over easy just because they've heard
They've heard that, right?
But they don't know that there's another option.
I've had my experience with over easy, and it's too liquidy. I can't do it too liquidy. I need a little bit more cooked, just not brown. I guess I'm kind of picky when it comes to my eggs a little
You
bit.
Should be.
But over medium is the way to go. Number two on my list.
Number one.
Number one way for me to enjoy my eggs is... egg salad.
Really?
Yep. That's my number one way for eggs. Just give me my homemade egg salad.
Oh, you have your own recipe.
Well,
for
Uncle Chris's homemade egg salad.
I am somebody's uncle, by the way.
No, I know you are. That's why I said it.
Some Best Foods mayonnaise is a key ingredient. A little mustard for color, and eggs, and then I like some onions and some celery, and I just like a great egg salad. I think that's phenomenal. And you guys have seen me. I eat egg salad sandwiches all the time.
You do.
Before work, or before the show.
I certainly really wish I could like egg salad.
You don't like it, huh?
I just can't do it. Right. I can't do egg salad. Number one on my list, you mentioned it earlier, but it's the way I probably eat egg the most, and it's in a burrito.
Ah.
Okay. Morning, noon, or night.
Before 10 a.m.
After 10 a.m.
That means at 10:30 a.m. it's before 10 a.m. the next day.
Right.
Never roll my eyes harder in my life.
I mean, that is... whoever invented, whoever came up with the idea...
Yeah, somebody had to come up with that idea,
of
right?
Of putting breakfast in a burrito.
That was awesome.
Brilliant, I tell you. Brilliant.
I love a breakfast burrito. Just a huge one. I like one of those gigantic breakfast burritos.
Yeah.
Where there's just eggs coming out for
eggs, steak, or like bacon.
The size of your forearm?
Man.
Forearm-sized, Chris Paddock tattooed forearm-sized egg burrito.
Is it your idol animal?
It's my idol eggs.
All right, I'm surprised, guys. I'm surprised.
Was that just like the most awesome countdown you ever heard?
Surprise, there's no over easy. You gotta be able to dip your toast.
Medium, you can dip a little bit. He's just saying he doesn't like it running all over the plate.
Yeah, like what happens is when on an over easy, you end up popping that egg and it just runs everywhere.
And it gets everywhere and you just mix it all up.
I am what you call a separator. Okay. I don't want my pancakes or my bacon.
I don't like my pancakes. I can't stand that.
I hate that. So. That's where I'm at.
I like the fact that you went the extra mile and go for the over medium.
Yeah.
Because most people don't even know that that's it's even an option.
How do you want
your eggs, sir? Over easy. Say it because it's what you're supposed to say.
I suggest you wait till there's an actual cook on the other side because it's not the easiest thing to achieve. It takes some practice. It
takes a little work. But you're going to run home tonight and try to baste a couple, aren't you?
You know what's funny is my wife cooked bacon this morning, and she usually keeps – she doesn't clean the dish.
Left,
there's going to be some
over.
Fat. I'm going straight for it.
I'm watching basted eggs.
I'm watching this basted egg video, and the guy takes the eggs and he cracks them in a wine glass, which I guess is better for cracking the eggs because it's a finer – you know, the surface of it.
That I didn't.
But there is someone in the YouTube comment section that says, don't try this without your wife around because when she comes home and there are two wine glasses on the counter, guy said, this video caused a problem with my marriage. I was inspired to try the wine glasses. Made perfect sense. I washed them, placed them on the counter. Later on, my wife comes home and wants to know why there are two clean wine glasses on the counter when she and I had not drunk wine together. Try the poached eggs explanation. See how that works.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Be careful, folks.
All right. Everybody enjoy your eggs, I'm sure. By the way, we didn't really hear from, what was your number one, Scraby? Over easy? Is that your number one choice?
No, it's got to be scramble. I mean, that's a staple.
Just scramble.
Yeah.
But can you be browned?
Yes.
Oh, you like it browned.
Burn it. Burn my toast.
Thomas, you
burn
got
my
one
pancakes.
Egg style in particular that you like?
Yeah, I do eggs and hash browns where I actually mix in a lot of crunched up tater tots in it.
A skillet, so to speak, right?
Ooh, essentially, yeah, and then throw it in a burrito.
You talking my language.
Thomas, you just combined all five of mine into one answer.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, we do. That's why we do these segments. We should start doing them at the end of the show, though, so we can go eat. Gwen and Chris coming back. Happy hour next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.